Welcome everybody to the Script Doctor Podcast. My name is David.
And my name is Casey, and we're your hosts.
And we're here because we love movies and TV shows, and frequently they are very disappointing.
So we created this podcast to discuss and try to fix them. Now I know what you're thinking. Are they real doctors?
No, we're not.
In fact, David and I have bachelor's degrees in business, and boy has that got us so far.
And you may be wondering if we're in the entertainment industry.
No, we are just two friends that are passionate about movies and TV shows and talk about how they could be better.
Casey, why is there a statue on the table here?
It's to give you inspiration for this episode today.
Who is that anyway?
It's Poseidon, the Greek god of the sea.
Why in God's name is he on the table?
To give you inspiration. You're welcome.
For what? Inspiration for what?
For today's episode, David.
What are we looking at today?
We are at episode 10, Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief.
What?
I know, what a special 10th episode.
Especially bad.
Especially bad on the movie side, but I'm a fan of the book series, so I think the books are great.
Yeah, that's one little fun perspective is that I have not read any of the books. I don't plan on reading them, but nonetheless, I watched the movie, and holy crap, it was bad. I have a really hard time putting into words all the things wrong with this movie.
Because you know what they say, the books are always better than the movies.
Pretty much almost always.
I will be honest, when I first watched this movie and the second one, Sea of Monsters, like, at first I was like, you know, I am a huge fan of Greek mythology, so I was like, this is pretty cool, like, today's world mixed with Greek mythology.
It's an urban fantasy joint.
Yes, and I was just like, you know, I was pretty interested in it, and I realized that there was more to it, and I realized because they were so bad, they weren't going to finish the movies.
No, they didn't.
Because there's 5 books in the series, and they only did 2.
Ouch.
And I was just like, well, the storyline and the world is so interesting, I want to finish this. So I read the books after I watched the movies, and I was like, wow, what a difference.
To be entirely serious, when I actually found out that they had actually made the second one, it was already coming out on DVD. I completely missed. It went over my head, the fact that the other movie came out in theaters. So that's how muted this whole movie was. It's just a big blah.
They really didn't give marketing for the second one because the first one was so bad?
I guess so. Which was the right move, because they kind of gave up. Because, I'm sorry, if the first movie is any indication, the second one was probably pretty terrible.
Which David hasn't watched it yet.
Not yet.
But he will.
Yes, I'm going to. Despite my doctor's advice.
It's okay, it's fine. You'll survive. We survive mostly doing this. But, yeah. So we're here today to talk about Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief.
Yes.
Starring a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of great actors.
Oh my god, okay. This whole cast is completely topsy-turvy.
The main characters are really not that big.
They're not that well-known.
The 3 kids.
Logan Lerman. At the time, Alexandra Daddario was just starting her career. And then Brenda T. Jackson. And kind of funny, out of those 3 people, only Alexandra Daddario's career is still intact. Because as far as I know, Logan Lerman and Brenda T. Jackson don't seem to be doing work in acting anymore. So, sucks for them.
Maybe they had other dreams to pursue.
And they can thank this movie for them being able to realize those dreams. Oh, so what I mean by the cast being completely topsy-turvy is the fact that so much of the supporting cast is actually populated by all these really great actors. Sean Bean, otherwise known as Ned Stark.
Yes.
And
as Zeus.
Yes. And there's Pierce Brosnan, who was
Chiron.
He was Chiron, who was James Bond for a while, for like 4 of the movies. Uma Thurman is also in this movie, and she is one of my favorite actresses. She was amazing in Kill Bill. Excellent, excellent, excellent. And a few of the people like that, Steve Coogan and Rosario Dawson, they're in the movie too. They're all collectively in the movie for less than 10 minutes, and they're wasted on this rag of a film. It is the worst. Like, I cannot believe that these people stooped to making this movie. And this is how they were treated. I can't handle it.
A rag of a film. That got me. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're just... It's just one of those movies where they have, like, all these super famous actors and actresses, mm-hmm. and that's, like, the big pool. Like, what? Ned Stark?
Yeah. Although, at the time, was he even Ned Stark at the time?
I don't think so.
No, the Game of Thrones has not started yet.
You're right. So, the other people.
I mean, Sean Bean was already well-known. It's just that he became more well-known for playing Ned Stark.
Yeah.
And so, he was still a big name draw. It's just that it weirdly reflects on the performances, mm-hmm. which is that, you know, listen, even amongst these great actors, the performances are not amazing. It doesn't help that they're not in the movie for an extended amount of time, mm-hmm. but our main cast, our main part of heroes, Logan Lerman, Alexander Daddario, and Brandon T. Jackson, oof.
They needed ouch. Help.
I'm given to understand that Logan Lerman is somewhat talented. Mm-hmm. If that's true, it is not evident in this movie. I don't know if he just got poor direction or if they just didn't guide him well, but either way, he is friggin' awful.
He just wasn't really good at showing, like, emotion.
Like, his whole mood was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
This just happened. That's really weird. And then, like, whoa.
That's crazy.
That's really sad. That's kind of weird, on. Though. And then moving on. Yeah. And, like, there are moments where he should be shattered as a person.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, that's kind of nuts, man. Mm-hmm. And then other moments where he should be a little more excited or angry, and he's like, what?
That's crazy. Alexandra Daddario, I mean,
she's not much better.
No.
She's better, only slightly, than Logan Lerman, but not by much. And even so, look, I'll give her credit for this. She had just started her career, mm-hmm. so it's not like she had been doing this for very long. I'm pretty sure Logan Lerman had been working for a little bit already, so he doesn't have as much of an excuse.
I will say in the books, like, they definitely have, the characters themselves, the three main ones, have more of a personality, and that really isn't shown here in the movies.
Oh, no. Okay, so we kind of have, like, a Harry, Ron, Hermione vibe going on between these three people, uh-huh. but our other two co-stars, Alexander Daddario and the guy who plays Grover, Brandon T. Jackson, they don't really have a chance to really display emotions. They don't have a chance to really be characters. They're just kind of there to support our wonderful main hero.
Percy Jackson,
who's just so pure and talented and amazing. That's the name of the movie. Oh my god, he's so cool,
it's
though.
It's all about him, though.
Yeah, he's just handed everything, really.
He's the child of the big three.
He's not the child of the three of them.
Well, he's a child of one of the big three. What?
This movie's not that weird. That he's not the child of all three of them.
You know what I mean. Oh my gosh. Okay, David. Let's just go ahead and jump in to the movie that you really just connected with.
on a deep primal level.
So, how does it start?
Okay, it starts with Ned Stark and some dude.
Poseidon.
We found out it's Poseidon later, but it's some dude.
It's pretty obvious it's Poseidon, but go ahead.
They have a conversation, and it sounds ominous, like there's going to be some kind of conflict. We don't totally know all the details, obviously, yet, but...
Basically...
Things sound bad.
Someone stole Zeus's lightning bolt.
Oh my god.
And Zeus is just like... Zeus was like, you did it, and he was just like, what are you talking about? You know we can't steal each other's, like, own weapon.
It's a conversation like that. It's a conversation like that, and...
He says that basically Percy is the one who stole it because they can't steal from each other.
And Zeus is just like, you have to bring it to Olympus on this one date, or...
Percy has to bring it on the solstice.
Who cares? Or...
Anyways, he's just like, he doesn't even know who he is, and then he was just like, well, it's... Yeah. So... After that, then we jump to Percy, and he's in water for, like, 7 minutes. And he's like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I do it. I just love the water. Moving on later, they go to a museum, and his teacher is just like, I need to talk to you. And then it turns out the teacher was a fury, and Percy's like, what?
It tries to kill him.
Yeah.
It's just a monster.
Yeah.
That's what we need to know.
But he has no idea that these things exist yet.
Yeah.
And he's freaked out, but he could have given a way better performance about it.
Yeah. And Logan Lerman should be shocked.
He's shocked, but, like, not that great, though. He's just like, what just happened? I can't right now.
Yeah, he looks like somebody just shouted his name across the room, like, whoa, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
Not like his world was just shattered and that somebody just tried to murder him.
And then his teacher, which is Chiron.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yes. And he gives him a pen. He's like, it's the greatest weapon. And he's like, it's a pen. And he's like, guard it with your life.
And Brandon T. Jackson, henceforth known as Grover,
mm-hmm.
goes with Percy to his home to go collect his mom because they have to go escape.
Yeah.
And go to a certain safe place or whatever.
To a camp.
And then they go, and while they're almost there, a monster attacks.
The Minotaur.
A Minotaur. Like,
the Minotaur.
Oh my
god. Not a Minotaur. What? The Minotaur.
And then they run, their car gets trashed, they find the camp. Percy's mom can't go in because she's just a human.
She's not a demigod. She's not a special person.
And then the Minotaur grabs her and it looks like it kills her.
And, like, Percy gives no emotion to
her. His mom is murdered in front of him.
He's just like, he's not like, Mom! Or, no! He's just like, what? And then he clicks the pen and the sword comes up and he's fighting the Minotaur and the Minotaur throws him, it gets its horn stuck in the tree, and then they have a bit of a Chamber of Secrets moment where he uses the Minotaur horn, aka like how Harry Potter used
the fang.
Yeah, the fang. And he stabs a Minotaur, and it dies. And then Percy passes out.
Oh my god.
Then he wakes up in, like, an infirmary.
3 days later or something like that.
Yes. And he wakes up, and he was just like, how you feeling? Grover's like, how you feeling? And he was just like, man, I had this crazy dream. And he's like, all these things happen. And Grover was like, he was like, and you had, like, goat legs. What? Because Grover's a satyr.
Mm.
And then he was like, oh, no, it was real? Oh, no. And again, doesn't give any tears for his mom.
Like, he just saw his mom murdered.
That was, like, his only parent.
Yeah. And his friend Grover is so casual about it. He doesn't say, oh, man, listen, I know you're going through a rough time, man.
He was like, come on, bro, let me take you around camp. Let me show you all these cool things. He's like, yeah. So they go around camp, and they come across Annabeth, daughter of Athena. And he was just like, what's her name? And he was just like, oh, you can't even with that. And he was just like, what's her name? And right after his mom is dead,
and
he's already wondering about girls. Like, come on, bro.
They're staring at each
typical
other.
Typical men. Excuse me, typical boys.
And so then they start staring at each other across the field, and they're giving each other the eye. Oh, my God. And then Pierce Brosnan, who turns out to be a centaur.
And the Chiron in the story.
Sure. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're going to play Capture the Flag, except with more violence.
And actual swords.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then they team up with this one kid, Luke.
Son of Hermes.
And then there's a bit of a silly little action scene where Percy is weirdly good at dodging blades, even though he's never fought a day in his life
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Because God reflexes or something stupid like that.
And Alexandra Daddario, a.k.a. Annabeth, daughter of Athena.
Catches up with him.
Yeah, and she, like, cuts him up. And then, and pretty bad. I'm like, girl, chill out. This is, like, a game.
That's true.
His first battle, this kid has literally never been across anything in this life. And they all know this. But she's like, nah, I'm about to teach you a lesson right now.
I was so on board for Annabeth to just go ahead and kill him right there, because I was just like, this protagonist sucks. I was already on board for him to die, but, you know.
Oh my gosh. And Percy hears his dad, hears a voice, which happens to be his dad.
And tells him to go to the water. He does, and the water heals him, mm-hmm. and then he gets up, and all of a sudden he
beats everybody up.
And for some reason.
Captures the flag.
And then they have a party.
And then there's this one scene I really dislike, because it's very cringy. And, like, he's, like, talking to Annabeth. And he was like, I get the feeling you don't like me or something. And she was like, maybe, because our parents don't like each other. And then she was just like, I definitely have strong feelings for you. I just don't know if they're positive or negative yet. I'm like, girl, you just met him this morning. What you talking about? That's really weird.
That's bizarre.
Ew.
That's strange characterization.
Yeah.
That's entirely how relationships work.
And after that, Hades shows up.
And the bonfire.
Yes. And he's like, where's the lightning bolt? And
gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah, and then he tells Percy that his mom's not dead, and he was like,
what?
Yeah, and he's like, I got her, and he's just like, what? And then
Percy's like, I need to go on a quest.
To the underworld.
Hooray! And then Grover, who's been his bodyguard for all this time, decides to go with him, which, fair enough, I guess he'd want to continue in that role, he's his friend. But then Annabeth, Alexandra Daddario, decides that she's going to join them too. Mm-hmm. For some reason.
I mean, Percy, first off, I understand he wants to go to the underworld and find his mom. But, like, he was trying to do it on the low because Chiron wanted to go to Olympus and, like...
petition or whatever.
Yeah. So he wasn't doing it under the advice of the teachers, of the counselors and all that. He was just like, I'm gonna go to the underworld. No clue how to get there. He literally just arrived... He literally just woke up, like, that day.
That's true.
So,
he just found out he's a different species.
What, does he like, even know? Yeah. He's not a know-it-all. He has zero clue what he's doing. He doesn't know where to go. So then they're like, oh, let's go visit Luke. And then they go to Luke, and he conveniently has a map of pearls that will get them out of the underworld once they get there.
With precise directions on where to find them, too. Yes. Like, our heroes need to do no thinking. Just follow the map and they're good.
And he gives them special fly shoes and he gives...
fun little shield.
Yes. And sets them off. And then which I actually kind of like the line that he says. He was just like, you see my dad on the highway to hell? Kick his ass for me. I thought that was kind of funny.
That one line won you over.
Obviously, Percy isn't going to do that because he can't.
Right.
But I just thought it was kind of funny. But anyways, so they go to their first stop, and it happens to be Medusa's lair.
Yeah, I also
do like the scene in there where Grover sees a statue, and he was just like, hey, this looks like my Uncle Ferdinand. And then he was just
I wonder why that is.
And he was like, that can't be him, because he was killed by Medusa. And they were all split up at this point.
It's a really long, a bit drawn-out action scene, and it's sad because Medusa is played by Uma Thurman, mm-hmm. who is a wonderful performer. And again, she's just wasted, just like Pierce Brosnan and Ned Stark. Mm-hmm. And it's just awful, because then she just dies kind of unceremoniously.
He chops her head off.
Yeah.
And they keep her head.
Yeah, for some reason they're like, we should keep this.
And they find the pearl.
They find the pearl, and then they grab some coins for some reason.
Drachmas.
Just because
is the Greek currency. Money. Yes.
And for some reason they just grab it, because I don't know why.
It was in a wishing well. Why not? They need some money.
Wouldn't that bring bad luck? Or something?
I honestly thought about that when I watched it.
Wouldn't that been fun? Wouldn't that been interesting if, like...
And this is Greek mythology. It feels like something bad should happen.
Oh, but no. None of that, because we have no time for it.
Yeah.
Because...
I'm sure there's a god of wishing wells that's pissed.
Probably. That could be, like, the sixth book.
Yeah.
The god of wishing wells coming back for his vengeance mm-hmm. on the three of them.
So, after that, they take a truck...
to Nashville.
Yes. And then they go to the replica of the Parthenon.
Yep.
And, because the map revealed to them that's where the next pearl is.
Yeah.
And they get it, and then there happens to be a Hydra there.
While they're on their way to Nashville, somebody has the thought like, hey, that was super weird that the Medusa's there. Mm-hmm. It would have been kind of nice if Luke had warned us about it.
Yeah. And then Percy was...
oh, it's fine.
Percy was just like, oh, I'm sure he didn't know.
It's probably fine, Casey.
Leading up to some things.
Casey, I bet it's totally cool.
I'm sure. Because he just met him that day and that he's already his best friend and giving him things.
Exactly. You can totally trust this guy.
Yes. He even gave him his favorite shield.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're at the Parthenon. They get the pearl, but then the Hydra shows up and they have a fight. A CGI fight.
It's really bad CGI, too.
Yeah.
And Alexandra Daddario, Annabeth, who's supposed to be this warrior princess person, mm-hmm. who should be doing a lot more fighting, mm-hmm. Doesn't do a ton of fighting in this scene either.
Mm-hmm. David Percy Jackson, the Lightning Thief.
Right, I'm sorry.
It's all about Percy.
You're right, I'm sorry.
A child of one of the big three.
I thought for a second
we might... The only person that matters.
I thought we might give equal time to one of the co-stars so that, you know, a character could shine.
No.
I'm sorry.
That's why it's like, I'm sorry, really is it Harry Potter and Hermione and Ron and the Sorcerer's Stone, or is it Harry Potter, the Sorcerer's Stone?
I guess I should just really reconsider this and just maybe, I guess it doesn't matter.
He's the main character, he's the main slice of cheese.
You're right. We should just let Grover and Annabeth just be lifeless husks of a character, just kind of standing around to be like, get him, Percy, you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yeah.
They get their next destination, and it is the Lotus Casino in Las Vegas, and they make their way there.
They go to Vegas, yep.
This is David's favorite part.
I'm not gonna lie, I actually like this scene. This is the one thing that I liked about this movie. Mm-hmm. They go into this casino, and there's some just like cookies or something. It's like a little Lotus
flowers.
They call it Lotus flowers. It's a little cookie cracker thing or whatever, mm-hmm. with a little topping, some icing. They eat it and they're like, wow, that's awesome. And they're like, yeah, it's all awesome. And
this is so great.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting about all of our problems right now.
And then they start playing some of the games in the casino. And
they're like, didn't we have something to do? And they're
having a great time. And they're just like, da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And they're just having a great time. There's dancing and music and all this stuff.
Playing games. They don't have to pay for anything. They're playing techno. It's
all of it. And it was kind of fun because we got to see what each character enjoys doing, at least a little bit, which that's the thing about a character, we get to see what they like to do and stuff like that. So we get to see that Grover likes to do dancing and stuff like this. He likes he likes the attention that girls give him. He had a little set of groupies just for him or whatever, and that was a fun little scene. And then it gets ruined when Poseidon
decides to talk to Percy
and
he's like, wake up.
Yeah. And you couldn't have done this 2 days ago.
I know.
And
they wake up. He wakes up and he snaps Annabeth and Grover out of it. And they find the pearl and they escape out of the casino and
stealing a car.
Yes, a Maserati or something.
Yep.
And they get out.
Auto larceny.
And they realize they've been in there for 3 or 5 days when they thought they were really only in there for 2 hours.
The point is that now they only have hours, like 12 hours or something like that
before. The solstice is the next day.
Yeah.
So they make their way to Los Angeles. They find the entrance to the underworld. They
go in.
Yeah, they go in. They get into Hades' castle and they show up. And he was just like, yo, Hades, I thought I would just show up here without the lightning bolt and just tell you I am not the lightning thief. And I thought I have nothing to give you, but I figured because I am your nephew, you would give me my mom back. No questions asked. I gotta go.
See, wasn't that easy?
Yeah. And obviously,
this kid's for one,
you're not just going to a god. You're going to a god of the underworld. You really think he's just going to be like, yeah, yeah, sure. And in reality, even if he went to Zeus, you really think Zeus would be the same? No.
Yep, that's, yeah. This kid doesn't understand what genre of myth he's in.
Yeah, so he's just talking to his uncle, trying to petition his mom's release, and he lets her go, technically. Yeah. And then he drops the shield, and out pops the lightning bolt, and was like...
It popped out of, there was a hidden compartment on the shield.
Yeah. What? And then he was like, see, you did have it. And then he was like, what? No, I didn't. And then they're like, Luke tricked us.
Annabeth finally has a line, useful line, and explains the plot to us.
That Luke gave Percy the shield, and the lightning bolt was inside of the shield.
Are you suggesting that Luke was the lightning thief, Casey?
Yes, the lightning thief, is that what you said?
Are you suggesting that Luke was the lightning thief, Casey?
Yes, David. What? It wasn't Percy all along.
What? But Luke is such a cool guy. He's so nice. He's best friend.
Nothing's ever free, David.
I guess not.
There's always a price.
So then they're about to be killed by some dogs, and then...
Hellhounds.
And then Rosario Dawson...
A.K.A. Persephone.
...rescues them, and then they escape... But they only have 3 pearls of escape, and so Grover has to stay behind, because he's a true homie.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
They're just really casual about this. Again, a moment where Logan Lerman should be kind of broken about this decision to leave his best friend behind.
He was like, who should I leave behind? Me? And like, no, I should go. And then they're like, no. And then Grover's just like, no, it should be me. And they're like, all right, peace. And then they imagine themselves back to the Empire State Building, which is where the entrance to Olympus is. Woo. And there...
Everything is in America, Casey.
Yes, because that's where Western civilization is, like the main part. That's why. They explain that in the book. I'm sorry, I don't know if they said that in the movie.
It's just that we're so important, Casey. America, I mean, the U.S.
Yes.
We're just obviously. So important. Obviously. Of course.
Everyone loves us.
We do nothing wrong ever.
I know. So...
Oh my god. So they get there and they're about to go up there and Luke confronts them.
He's waiting for him.
And then Luke starts a fight with Percy and Annabeth, who has a bow and arrow, who should be really upset at Luke and trying to also fight him, just kind of seems to stand there off camera while Luke and Percy fight and is just like, wow, that's kind of something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whoa. And just does nothing while Percy is fighting for his life. And then they land on a building. There's a convenient water tower. And then Percy uses his water magic. And then knocks him out. And then uses a water trident and sends him into the Hudson River. Cool. Yes. Then he flies back. He goes to the Empire State Building entrance to Olympus. He goes up there with Annabeth. Then he finds the gods there.
All fighting.
At each other's throats, more or less. And... He's verbally just like, speaking.
He's like, wait, wait, I have it.
And then he explains that it was Luke who stole the bowl.
Because he's so tired of the gods, because all they care about is themselves and not the kids and all those things.
And all this conflict or whatever. And then they are just like, well, okay. And then...
I like that they very, very ever so slightly show Hermes' face when he's just like, son of Hermes. And he was so mad at you guys. And he was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's cutscene to everyone else.
That's embarrassing.
My B, man. My bad, Dad.
So, I know, right? And then, at that point, the meeting is dismissed, and they negotiate for Grover's release or whatever from the underworld, and Ned Stark is like, oh, whatever. He walks away, and then Poseidon has a conversation with Percy saying, I totally love you, even though I left you completely defenseless against all the monsters that would have killed you, and so your mom had to marry an abuser.
Yes.
Or some stupid lore like that.
Yeah.
And then they...
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I thought about that too.
Yeah. No, this guy's a deadbeat. Poseidon's a loser.
Because it's like, in reality, like, I understand she did it to protect Percy, but like, if Poseidon really loved his mom, like he said he did, or used to, I feel like he would have protected them in another way.
Well, just like...
And not making, not just making his life miserable, he's making... His mom's life miserable.
Well, the quick lore is that apparently she married this loser...
Gabe,
because he apparently smells bad enough that...
To cover Percy's scent.
It wards off...
Demigod scent.
It wards off monsters from sniffing out Percy.
And trying to kill him.
Or something like that. Which begs the question, there are steps you can do before that, like hang flowers on the windows, or garlic from the windows, like a vampire or something.
I mean, I don't
hang
know.
Hang garlic on his, around his neck. Like, I don't know if that would work, but, like, even if none of that works, the point is that Poseidon could probably just be like, hey, here's a little bag of extra-smelling algae. As long as you live on the coast or something, or near the beach, you'll be safe from any monsters coming to kill Percy or something like that. Real easy, real simple, nothing too complicated about that. Just some little magic thing. Just like, no, but that's not what we get. We get everybody's a deadbeat dad in this universe, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag daddy issues.
Yeah, pretty much.
So...
But the plot's pretty much wrapped up, and...
They're at camp.
They're still... Oh, there's another capture the flag fight or something like that, and then Percy's fighting Annabeth again, and they're giving each other the eye again. Oh my god.
Ew.
Ooh, and then the scene kind of ends, and the movie ends. Nobody cares, because this franchise only got one more movie, so...
I find it kind of interesting how, like, in reality, they're all related.
Yes. That's kind of creepy.
Athena is the daughter of Zeus.
They're cousins, like second cousins or something like that.
Yeah. And Poseidon is Zeus's brother, and Percy is the son of Poseidon, so in reality, they're cousins. Half-cousins, technically, but still. And...
It means...
Well, not half-cousins. Excuse me. They're cousins. So...
It means that Percy has a thing for his cousin.
Yes.
Hashtag problematic.
But, I mean, in the Greek myths, like, you know, marrying their sister or whatever, they don't care. Hashtag pure. Hashtag, hashtag Targaryens.
Ugh.
So, that was the film.
Oh, God. Okay.
The book was better, I promise. I tried to explain the book to David, but he's like, I don't want to hear it.
I mean, well, partly just because of the podcast, because I didn't want, like, my perspective tainted for the podcast. But partly just because, like, some of it feels a little bit overwhelming. We may as well start there. Like, for our fix, first of all, this is my broad opinion. I have never seen a book adaptation brought to screen as a movie such that I felt satisfied that everything in the book was covered in the movie. At least in a way that is totally sensible and, like, does justice to everything that's in the book. Never, not once, not ever in my life. I realize the Harry Potter movies are pretty successful and all that, and did generally well, especially, like...
Twilight was pretty similar to the books.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like the experience that a book gives you isn't how it lingers with you. How you get to spend so much time with it and just kind of reflect on everything that's going on as you read in between all the chapters. Because you don't always read the whole book at once. At least most people don't.
Because you read the book, you're like playing it as a movie in your mind.
You digest it.
Yeah, how you imagine this is going to go. And then when it's brought to life, you're really hoping it's what you really thought, if not better. And most of the time, almost always, the books are always better than the movies.
And the movie is just so quick compared to, like, the book experience.
Yeah.
Video games have a similar kind of problem. That's why pretty much every single video game movie that's ever been made sucks and it's bad. And so instead of just a two-hour movie, because this movie is only about an hour and 50 minutes, covering a pretty big book, considering the length of the movie, we're just going to turn this into a several-episode series. Could be maybe, say, 8 episodes or something like that.
It's
probably appropriate. 8 one-hour episodes. Just so we can really linger on everything, we can direct our cast to, like, express emotions, and, like, we can have them process events, like, say, remember when Percy's mom was dead, or at least he thought his mom was dead? Like, wouldn't it have been nice? Wouldn't it have been nice to have him be sad or something?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being like, whoa.
This is cool.
Yeah. So, while we're at it, talking about performances, I would, for sure, recast everybody. Everybody gets a recast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to anybody who cares about these actors being in this movie. They're all gone.
Yeah.
All of them. Recast everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Because, sorry, these three actors are not good in these roles. They're just bad.
Yeah.
Logan Lerman, I don't know if this is just the directing thing. Somebody, like, directed him incorrectly. He's just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, Alexander Daddario is not that much better. That's probably due to inexperience. It's fine. Brandon T. Jackson is the best one out of the three, but he's still not exactly delivering an Oscar-worthy performance or something like that. Nothing noteworthy. Nothing interesting.
I find it interesting, and again, this is from the book perspective, that the characters are actually kind of opposite in what they are in the film. Like, in the book, they actually have character.
Yeah.
Like, Percy is, he doesn't like to take orders from anyone. He's not a bully. He's not a mean kid. He just doesn't like to be bossed around, and he has a lot of attitude, and for that, he's, like, kicked out of every school he's ever
gone to. He's a character.
Yeah.
He's a character. He has motivations and attitudes about how he wants things done.
Yeah. And then...
That's nowhere in this movie.
And Grover is actually, like, a coward. He's actually really scared.
Oh, that's hilarious.
A scaredy cat.
That's great.
And...
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. And in the book, he's just like that scene with the Minotaur, actually Grover passed out. And Percy...
Oh, like a goat!
And Percy...
That's great!
Percy dragged him across the line, and then Percy passed out from being, like, in the fight.
Right.
So, like, he had to end up saving Grover when Grover's supposed to be protecting him.
That's funny.
So, yeah. And then Annabeth, I mean, I feel like her character really isn't that much different. The only thing is, like, she has a big crush on Luke in the book, and she's very wise.
She has a desire.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the key thing here is that, like, if your character can't, you know...
Her desire in the book is actually she really wants to go on a quest, but they don't want to send them because they keep getting killed, like the demigods. So that is why she goes with Percy on the quest. She's like, I've been wanting to go on a quest. I want to go.
If your character can't have a particularly interesting, like, attitude or, like, view of the world. Instead, give them a big desire. In this case, that would have been fine for Annabeth to, like, have the desire to go on a quest. And then the moment that a quest pops up, boom, she's, like, totally on it. It doesn't matter that it's with this loser that she just met. She is just all about the quest. And that would have been a great little character, you know, defining thing for her. But no, that's not in the movie.
Yeah. But, and then the movie, obviously, it just happens so fast.
Yeah.
And, like, I really like how they find out who Percy actually was in the book, because they don't automatically already know that he's Poseidon's son. They just know he's a demigod.
They find out during the fight with Annabeth or whatever.
Yeah. So basically he goes to camp, he gets sent to the Hermes cabin because he's like the god of travelers, so they take in all the ones they don't know who's their godly parent, and they say that some people never find out because their parents have no time to claim them.
Yeah.
And then they're in the fight, and then Poseidon claims him in the middle of the fight, and then everybody was like in silence because,
oh no,
technically the three big gods, Poseidon, Zeus, and Hades, were no longer supposed to have any demigod children because there was a specific prophecy about one of them.
Yeah. And with the show, we can linger at least on some of this, mm-hmm. like at least a little bit. And that's kind of the key thing here, is that like with the show, you get to linger on everything, get to just like draw everything out. This is a similar solution to, like, what happened in the Snyder Cut, is that we get to linger on everything and get to just really process everything.
And we're not saying that the way we want the show to go is supposed to be, like, exactly like the books. No.
No, 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 no.
It's just, like, have been explaining to David there's, like, certain parts that are, like, these were really interesting, I liked how they did it instead, and I think that would have been better incorporated.
The things that would work better to keep are just all the character moments. Mm-hmm. Things like the fact that Annabeth has a crush on Luke. Things like that really help give passion and some fire to this otherwise really passionless universe and desireless universe where just, like, people go on quests for no reason and think that they know everything for no reason and that kind of thing. And then as far as the quest goes, I think it'd be fine if Luke directs them to the first pearl,
mm-hmm.
but go ahead and make it so that they have to find clues for the other ones. Like, it's really sad that our heroes don't really get to actually think.
Are you saying, like, once they get the first pearl, they get, like, the next clue, like, automatically, or?
More like they put it together. They're like, oh, looks like Medusa at some point sold this pearl to the museum or to Nashville or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, let's go to Nashville and go find it. So the journey to Nashville could be more or less the same. The fight, I would probably change it to some other beast. Something a little more manageable. Not a Hydra, that's just impossible to beat. Otherwise, you know, something to help really see our hero's talents all together. Have the party fight together in a cool way. Something like that. Some other monster. Lots of other monsters in Greek myth, just something not the Hydra.
And then after they leave the Parthenon replica, I'm taking this scene from the book because I told David, I was like, listen, this has to be incorporated because I really loved it when I read it. Like, it literally made me laugh.
At least a version of this probably fit.
So basically, the truck breaks down. They end up at a diner.
Well, because, like, they leave the camp in this rinkety-dinky little truck.
No, they don't. They go on a bus to the Medusa's place, and then they steal the truck that was at Medusa's place.
Oh, right. But with what money? That's the problem. That's what I mean. Like, they left without any money and stuff like that. They somehow...
That's one thing in the film. Like, they definitely talk about in the book, like, how they don't have money and clothes and et cetera.
Yeah.
But in here, they just somehow are able to get across things and somehow have money.
They get across the entire United States by themselves.
And so we're going to have them in the truck that they stole after the Parthenon
breaks down
at this diner, and then they really want to eat, and then the waitress is like, you need
realize
money.
That they have no money,
and then Ares, god of war, shows up, and he's like, I'll get you guys some food, and I'll get you some resources, money, clothes, etc. And he was like, I'll get you a ride west, I just need you to do this one favor for me, this one quest. Basically, he was like, I left my shield in this abandoned water park, I need you to go get it for me.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. And Percy's like, why? But he goes anyway. So Percy and Annabeth and Grover show up at the abandoned water park. They find the shield. They realize it was a trap set by Hephaestus to catch Ares and Aphrodite together. And these cameras show up and it's like live to Olympus in 60 seconds. And basically they're going through the trap and Olympus is watching them and they somehow escape. But it was really funny to me because they're literally live to everyone in Olympus. His father, Zeus, etc., all the gods, all the world of Olympus. And he was just, like, so angry at the end. He was like, okay, show's over, good night. And the camera shut off.
And that could be one episode.
Yeah. So they return to the diner, they give the shield back to Ares, and Ares gives him money and clothes and resources and a ride back.
To wherever they're going.
Yes, to the west.
Yeah, and then the scenes can more or less proceed as they usually do. Spend a whole episode at the Lotus Casino. Mm-hmm. That was excellent. Mm-hmm. And make sure that we really linger on, like, what it is that...
Their games and stuff.
What specifically they like doing at this casino. What are they... What are they enjoying? Who are they hanging out with? What are they doing and stuff like that? And I would also make it a point that it's not Poseidon's telepathic voice that snaps Percy out of this whole thing. Make it something internal that one of the characters, or maybe even all of the characters individually, they're kind of all separate in the casino. Maybe have all three of them.
I mean, I totally thought it was fine. It was just like, I mean, I don't know why Poseidon waited so long. That's the only thing.
Well, that's the problem. And, like, I just don't like how this movie consistently makes our heroes either look like morons or look so vain and incapable of actually completing the quest themselves. And so that's why it would be really helpful if, like in this case, where they're totally trapped, if, say, they were able to escape themselves. Mm-hmm. They realize that, wow, this is really not important. I care much more about completing the quest, finding my mom, and making sure that there is no war that happens in the world of Olympus and all that.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of things that we really need to emphasize, and that is completely absent from the movie, is that we don't see our heroes shining because of who they are. We see them shining because they have a parent who's cool. And that's kind of lame. It should be our characters who are shining using the gifts that they have, not because of just...
Their godly parent is.
Just because of they just happen to have a godly parent or something like that. Like,
but that's what makes them...
Well...
Partially who they are.
Partially, but it should be about them, how they use their gifts, not because of they have them. Mm-hmm. That's the difference here. And the Lotus Casino is a great moment for them to kind of have their characters shine through because of who they are as people, not because of their godly parents. It's a great moment because, you know, what Percy likes to do and what Annabeth likes to do and what Grover likes to do are, all those things are to a degree pretty separate from their godly parent. To an extent. Not completely, because, you know, Percy still loves the water, because, you know, Poseidon and all that. But it's a great moment to really have that kind of happen.
Yeah.
Then, once they escape, we can have more or less exactly the same thing. They go
to the underworld.
They go to the underworld. They have some kind of scene that's more or less similar to what happens in the movie. Although, I would have this be an entire episode, where they're kind of in the underworld, just kind of either...
Petitioning Hades,
and make Hades a really charismatic actor. Like, find a good casting director to find somebody who just, like, exudes coolness or something like that. Whatever that charisma thing is. Mm-hmm. If you could find somebody who does it and who can really kind of deliver these lines. Somebody who can do this pretty well. Like, I would not hire him for this role because, you know, I wouldn't cast him for this role because, you know, he does something similar already. But Tom Hiddleston does this a bit with Loki. Mm. Have somebody like that play Hades.
Yeah.
Something about that quality that he has, where he can just, like, be kind of fun and entertaining, despite the fact that he's just kind of a douchebag.
Yeah.
At least in this interpretation of Hades, I think it's kind of sucks that Hades is pigeonholed into being the bad guy, into all these Greek myth interpretations, even though in Greek myth he's actually kind of okay. But anyway.
He just got the short end of the stick.
Consistently. But anyway. And then from there, we can have them escape more or less exactly how it happens in the movie, but then, oh man, there's a big fight where Annabeth and...
Percy?
Annabeth and Percy are confronted by Luke.
At the Empire State Building.
At the Empire State Building. But this time I'd have at least some little pre-conversation where Annabeth is
Why did you do this? I don't understand.
Because she has a crush on him.
Yes.
And so after a few minutes of them just kind of fighting, I mean Luke and Percy, is when Annabeth would finally feel like, okay, I need to intervene and stop Luke.
And it could be something internal within her because she's known Luke for years now.
Right.
And she just met Percy, really.
Right.
And she's like, you know, I don't want to hurt Luke because, I mean, he's been my friend. Mm-hmm. He's been her protector in a sense, too.
And I kind of like him.
In the books.
Yeah.
And, And she was like, you know, trifling with that inside her, like, do I fight him? What do I do?
Right. And that could be a whole thing. And we can learn about all this because we have time to, like, actually explore her character. She's, like, a fully fledged character. And if we were able to just linger on things and examine her character and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And have conversations. So, anyway. And then one really interesting thing that was in the book, I'll say this, was that Luke's sword can cut people and monsters.
Yes, it's half celestial bronze and the other half steel.
And then Percy's sword can't actually cut people. They can only cut monsters.
Yes.
For some reason, whatever, it's fine. And either way, it leaves Percy in a position where he has to find a way to beat Luke in a fight with a sword that can't actually cut him.
Yeah.
And so at some point during the fight, we can have Percy get in a really good swing with his semi-useless sword on Luke, and it could cut his shirt a bit, but it won't cut Luke himself. But in the cut that he makes, he can see on Luke's body this brand or this symbol that's kind of just drawn on him or something, or branded on him. And Percy kind of sees it and is like, that's weird, but then he's in the middle of a fight, so he can't actually think about it much right now. And so the fight can kind of keep going more or less the way it goes in the movie. I would draw it out a bit and maybe have Percy, like, use water to, like, create some weapons. Just water that they find randomly. Maybe they fly through a fountain and he makes, like, a trident and defend himself a bit or something like that. And then we can more or less have him end the fight roughly the way it did before. Luke gets thrown into the Hudson. Percy returns with the lightning bolt. And they go up to Olympus and things more or less proceed as normal. But, again, it's a TV show, so we have some time to wrap things up. And the main thing for me, at least, especially as far as Percy goes, is that he can't really seem to forget about that symbol that was on Luke's person. That he seems to be like, oh, I kind of recognize that. I've seen that before. And then, after maybe just some cursory digging, he's like, oh my god, I saw that at the museum that one day when I got attacked by the Fury or whatever. And then he looks up that symbol, and it's the Scythe of Kronos or something like that. Which can hint at what the book actually does get into eventually.
Which hints at throughout the entire book, he just doesn't realize until the end.
Right. And we can just start that right now. Just start that little process right here. Just have them kind of hint at Kronos, and Percy can be the person who really discovers this. And our hero being clever and smart and doing stuff on his own. So, yeah.
And then end at camp?
More or less, yeah.
And then the three characters trying to figure out what to do for the next year.
Exactly.
And scene.
And scene.
There you go.
I mean, yeah.
So we definitely did pull some things from the book to add. Not too much, but, you know, 50-50-ish.
A little. I mean,
just to make it better and more interesting.
One thing that is definitely effective about the movie the way it is that it is very straightforward. The lightning bolt is missing. They need to find the lightning bolt. There are no real complications about that. If there's anything confusing about the plot in the movie, it's that they spend so much time looking for his mom or way to get to his mom that it does feel like the quest for the lightning bolt feels a bit set to the side of it. I think it's a little...
Because, I mean, literally everyone he is coming to contact with.
Yeah.
All the Greek people will be like, where's the lightning bolt, Percy?
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't steal it.
Yeah, and that whole plot feels kind of set to the side, but, I mean, given the way this movie's structured, there's kind of no helping that. And so the lightning bolt just kind of comes right back into play. We're kind of right at the end of the movie, what with that conversation with Hades and stuff like that. That's not perfect, but hey, you know, if we're trying to salvage the movie as it is.
I have heard that they actually are going to make a series of Percy Jackson.
Yes.
And I really hope and pray...
I heard about this,
yeah. That it is successful, because I really do love the books. I am a huge fan of Greek mythology. And honestly, if you are too, these book series really brings Greek mythology in the modern world to life, and it's really interesting to see how they put it all together in today's world. So I really hope that they're able to bring it to life in a better way where it's successful and they actually get to do 5 seasons so I can see these books on screen.
Oh my god.
My dream, please. But
that's funny.
I really hope it's successful, so please watch the show so I can get that.
I'll say this. I've never in my life that I can remember ever seen an urban fantasy kind of thing that I really enjoyed that much.
Are you trying to crush my dreams?
And that being said, though, like, I think the pieces are here to make it work. Mm-hmm. Like,
you just need better actors.
You need better actors. I think you need to, like, streamline some of these plot elements. Because some of these things in the book sound interesting. Some of them sound a little complicated. Mm-hmm. But as long as you cut out any fluff and just keep the essential parts, especially about, you know, characterization and stuff like that, then it can be really good. Otherwise, it's going to be one big mess. I don't know that filming has started with that yet. I don't think casting has even started with that yet.
No.
I would also say this. I imagine that they're still writing the script for that.
Mm-hmm.
It is being produced by Netflix. And Netflix is mainly focused right now, as far as fantasy stuff goes, it is focused on The Witcher. And season 2 is coming out this year, sometime in the fall. And I hope it's good.
Henry Cavill.
I'm a huge fan of the books. The books for The Witcher are great. Amazing. They're my favorite fantasy series ever. Some of the greatest
books. You did read the books?
I listened to the books, audiobooks.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I cheated, but hey.
It's fine.
But they're amazing. And really, I think the fate of Percy Jackson and how much budget they give to the Percy Jackson Netflix series depends on how well The Witcher does. And The Witcher season 1 did pretty well. We'll have to see how season 2 does. We will see. Of course, it's just really hard to tell how it's going to go.
I just hope they sell it. Because if they stop at season 2, I'm going to be pissed. Because I'll still be right back where I was.
Oh, The Witcher?
Well, no. I'm talking about... They better not stop with season 2 for The Witcher.
No, if they do, I'd be super sad.
I'm talking about Percy Jackson. Because I watched the first two movies. Yeah. And I was like, I want to finish the story, so I read the books. Oh,
that'd be so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And crushing at the same time for you, at least.
I know. David laughs at my pain.
Hooray!
Anyways, you can catch Percy Jackson on Disney Plus.
As well as, what's it called, the Sea Monsters one?
Yes. Well, that'll be next week's episode.
Yeah.
Percy Jackson, the Sea of Monsters. That's the second movie, second book.
Yeah, we're going to follow up with that movie next week.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much I hate myself.
And then, yeah. So don't forget to follow us at Script Doctor Podcast on Instagram.
DM us, send us your questions.
Subscribe.
All that.
Hit the like button.
Give us a review on Apple.
5 stars only, please.
Yes.
And yeah. Thank you for listening, guys.
Hope you had a good time.
I know we did.
Yes, we did.
Bye.
See ya.